One, am I on? Good morning. Can you hear me okay? A very warm welcome to Grace Church Greenwich. Let me add my welcome to Andrew's. And my name's Jono, if we haven't met before. And we're going to have a look at that passage that was just read in some detail together. And as we start, I wanted to begin with a question, which you can find on the inside of your service sheets. And I think it's a question that's actually relevant to all of us in this room, whatever our circumstances, whatever our position. Why should I listen to Jesus? It's something we thought about in our children's talk as well, isn't it? And I think it's a question that those who aren't Christians ask. So maybe you're here as somebody who's interested in Christianity. Maybe you came for the first time to one of our carol services in December. And alongside singing some carols like Hark the Herald Angels Sing and whatever else, also heard the message, the Christmas message about Jesus. And perhaps it sparked your curiosity, and so you're here today looking for convincing answers to this question: why should I listen to Jesus? Maybe you're somebody who's more skeptical about Christianity, and perhaps you're here for the first time today, and maybe you're expecting unconvincing answers to this question, but nonetheless asking this question: why should I listen to Jesus? Alongside it being a question that those who are aren't Christians ask, actually, it's also a question that Christians ask. And in one sense, maybe that's a bit of a surprise, because aren't Christians by definition people who've already answered that question? You know, they've already asked the question, they found answers to it, and so they've made their mind up. Why should I listen to Jesus? Well, I've got answer A, I've got answer B, I've got answer C. Isn't that case closed? But actually, I'm sure many of us will be able to empathize with this. It's very easy, isn't it, as a Christian to become tired of listening to Jesus. And that can be for a variety of reasons. Maybe we become tired of listening to Jesus because of hardship in our lives. When I was a teenager, back in where I came from, there was a local doctor in our area, and he was a GP. He was a Christian doctor. And when it was appropriate and when there were opportunities and he felt like it would genuinely help the patient he was seeing, he would share something of his Christian faith with them. And there was one occasion when there was a complaint by the mother of one of his patients who he'd shared something of his Christian faith with. And that was escalated into a court hearing. And alongside all of this, he received a bowel cancer diagnosis and was being treated for that throughout that time. It's a horrible situation, isn't it? And I can imagine if I was that man, then I would be feeling like life with Jesus just feels too difficult. You know, why should I keep listening to him? Maybe you've experienced something like that that's made you ask that same question. We can become tired of listening because of hardship. We can also become tired of listening to Jesus because of temptation, can't we? Again, I remember when I was a teenager and I'd moved school. I was 17 years old. And at the school I'd moved to, there was basically just a really great pressure to join in with going out and getting drunk. And it was a pressure that I felt very keenly. And it just felt like social suicide not to join in and not to get involved with what everyone else was doing. And it certainly made me think that life without Jesus just feels much, much easier. Maybe you've experienced something like that that's made you ask this question: why should I listen to Jesus? Well, it's a question that those who aren't Christians ask. It's a question that Christians ask. And actually, as Andrew's already sort of mentioned in the service, it's a question that the readers of this book were asking as well. They too had experienced hardship and temptation, and so they were becoming tired of listening to Jesus. If you just flick forward, if you've got a Bible open, to chapter 5 and verse 11. And at this point in the letter, the author is talking about Jesus and wonderful things about him, and he kind of presses pause at this point in the letter, and this is what he says. Chapter 5, verse 11. About this, about Jesus and all that we've been saying, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. These Christians who are reading this letter, hearing this letter, they have become tired of listening to Jesus. Why should they keep on listening to Jesus? And into that situation, the writer has an answer for them and an answer for us. And we're going to think about that today. And really, the answer is centered on who Jesus is. And the reason that he sees that's important is because he understands that who speaks something really makes a difference to how we listen to it. Let me give you a silly example from the Christmas holidays. So me and Naomi and Tabitha, we traveled up to Edinburgh for Christmas to spend time with her family. And we got the train up there. And on the train, there was an announcement through the tannoy. And it said, you know, the man who's going to check your tickets is coming through the train. And so please get your rail cards out and make sure they're ready so that he can check them quickly and move on to the next person. I sadly didn't pay attention to this announcement. And the man came through, he checked my tickets, but I didn't have my rail card up. And so I had to quickly get it up on my phone. Held the whole situation up. And I think the reason that I didn't pay attention, if I'm honest, is probably because I considered the speaker to be of little significance. You know, it's just a voice through a tannoy. It's nothing that important. But by contrast, 5 days later, it was Christmas Day, and we just had our lunch. We sat down on the sofa to watch the television, and the King's speech was on. And to that, I paid attention throughout and listened carefully to what he had to say. And I think the reason for that is basically because I considered the king to be of great significance. He's the ruler of our nation. And so I paid attention. And I think the author of this letter, he understands that. That who speaks really affects how we listen to them. And the author wants us to see in this letter that Jesus actually is of the greatest significance. And we see in verses 1-4 of our passage that Jesus is greater, particularly than prophets. So it's sort of done by comparison. So we've got a comparison with prophets, really, in verses 1-4. And the author wants to say that Jesus is greater than prophets. He's better than those earthly messengers of God who came before Jesus. And alongside that, in verses 5-14, we see also that Jesus is greater than angels, those heavenly messengers of God who came before Jesus. And we're going to focus really on the second half of the passage, so on verses 5-14 today. And I put 2 points on your sheet, 2 reasons we should listen to Jesus. So firstly, Jesus is greater as the royal son. And this is really from verses 5-7 in the passage. And there's 2 ways to see this, I think. So firstly, from verse 5, and I put this on your sheets as well, Jesus gets a royal name that no angel gets. Let me read verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? I think the basic point in that verse is that God didn't call any one of the angels son. And it's phrased as a question, isn't it? So, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son'?" Implied answer, none of them. Or you can do the same thing with the second quotation. "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son'?" Again, none of them. God didn't call any angel son. But by contrast, God did call his king son. And actually, you can see that if you think about where these 2 Old Testament quotations that we get in this verse come from. So the first of these 2 is from Psalm 2. And in this psalm, it is God speaking to his king. And this is what he says to him. He says, "You are my son." And so this title, this name son, it is a name that is given to God's king. And you can see the same thing with the second quotation, this time from 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God is speaking to his prophet about his king. And he says, "I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son." So again, the king identified as the son. So it is a name that God calls his king. And Jesus, as the final fulfillment of God's king, he gets that name too. He gets called son. And actually, you can see that in verse 2. "In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son." Jesus gets a royal name that no angel gets. And secondly, and I've put this on your sheets as well, Jesus gets a royal seat that no angel gets. So those first 2 royal texts we've had, Psalm 2, 2 Samuel 7, they come in the context of a third royal text. And it's the one that we spoke together that was on the screen behind us. We said congregationally, Psalm 110. And that gets used in this passage a couple of times. So firstly, it's quoted in verse 13. So let me read that verse. "And to which of the angels has God ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" And again, I think the basic point there is that God didn't tell angels to sit beside him? Again, it's framed as a question, isn't it? But a question that the assumed answer is none of them. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand? He didn't say that to any angel. Again, by contrast, God did tell Jesus to sit beside him. And you can see that actually if you look earlier in the passage, in verse 3, we have this, Andrew read this verse earlier on, after making purification for sins, Jesus, the Son, he sat down at the right hand of God. So this psalm is fulfilled in Jesus. He is the one who gets a royal seat that no angel gets. So he gets a royal name that no angel gets. He gets a royal seat that no angel gets. Jesus is greater as the royal Son. And I think it's kind of easy enough to assent to that intellectually, isn't it? And just to kind of recognize, yeah, sure, Jesus is greater than prophets. Jesus is greater than angels. But I've been really helped this week just to think about the significance of that. I mean, just imagine that instead of me speaking up here today at Grace Church Greenwich, imagine the prophet Moses walked in and was speaking to us. You know, this man in the Old Testament of awesome power who turned all the water in the land of Egypt to blood and who turned all the dust in the land to gnats that swarmed onto people. And this man who made the whole land have darkness across it. I mean, if he walked into this room right now, we would listen, wouldn't we? We'd be on the edge of our seats wanting to hear what he had to say. Or imagine instead of the prophet Moses, imagine an angel walked into this room right now. Those sort of beings in the Old Testament of awesome appearance, aren't they? The sort of beings that people bow down before and fall down before, and actually even sometimes mistake what they're seeing for God. I mean, imagine if an angel walked in. Imagine if they were speaking today at Grace Church Greenwich. We would be listening, wouldn't we? We'd be on the edge of our seats wanting to hear what they had to say. And I think that just helps to see the significance of Jesus, doesn't it? He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than the angels. He gets a royal name that no angel gets. He's the Son. He gets a royal seat that no angel gets. He's seated at the right hand of God over everything. Even more, we should listen to Jesus. So Jesus is greater as the royal Son, but actually in this passage, that really doesn't go far enough. And that brings us to the second reason we should listen to Jesus, and it's what we've been thinking about throughout our service. Jesus is greater as the divine Son. Unlike the angels, Jesus actually is God himself. We're going to see that by having a look at particularly verses 10 to 12, which is a quotation from a psalm, Psalm 102, and it's applied to Jesus in this passage. And we're just going to notice three things that demonstrate Jesus' divinity in the way that they're applied to him in this psalm. So firstly, and I put these three things on your sheets, the divine name Jesus has. Let me just read those first two words of the psalm in verse 10. You, Lord. Now, when we see that name given to Jesus, I don't think we're meant to think of it as a human title. So in our culture, we have something like the House of Lords, for example, don't we? But it's populated by human beings, isn't it? The Lords are people like politicians and bishops, human beings addressed as Lord. I don't think we're meant to think of this title in that way here in this psalm. Actually, I think we're meant to think of it as a title for God. So actually, if you go back to Psalm 102 and you look at every reference of the word Lord in that psalm, all of them have a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And the reason for that is because it's translating, the English translators are translating the name of God in the Hebrew. And so actually this name Lord, it is the name of God. It's that name that's revealed to Moses in Exodus at the burning bush, where God says, I am the Lord. That is the sense in which Jesus is Lord. He is God himself, the divine name Jesus has. And secondly, the divine work Jesus does. So let me read on in verse 10. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Now, to think about this, I want you to imagine or think about all of existence in two categories. So you have the creator, and then you have everything that is created. And the basic claim of this verse is that Jesus comes into the former category. He is the creator himself. So think about maybe you've been on a luxury holiday before and been able to go scuba diving or something like that. And you get to see all these amazing sea animals, don't you, when you're scuba diving? All kinds of fish, maybe some kind of amazing octopus. I saw a fluorescent octopus online this week, which was pretty cool. Had lots of lights coming off of it. Maybe a great white shark if you've got the stomach for it and you go to the right place. Or maybe on another holiday, you could go on a safari trip and you see lots of amazing land animals, don't you? You see different types of rhino, maybe a really tall giraffe, maybe a really heavy African bush elephant. Or maybe on a slightly less exotic holiday, you could go bird watching and you could see lots of different birds, maybe an owl, maybe a bald eagle if you go to the right parts of the world. But just think about all of those animals, all of those sea, land, sky animals. Every one of them, this verse claims, made by Jesus. All of them owe their existence to him. Actually, even the parts of the creation that they inhabit, made by him. He's the maker of the sea, the maker of the land, the maker of the sky. He laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are the work of his hands. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That Jesus is the one who made all everything around us, everything in creation. The divine work Jesus does. And then thirdly, the divine life Jesus shares. I looked at the Guinness World Records website this week to find out a bit about who the oldest people, according to their records, who've ever lived are. And the oldest man was a guy called Jirohemon Kimura. I hope I'm saying that right. He's a Japanese guy. And he lived to 116 years old. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? The oldest woman in the world actually outlived him. So her name was Jean Calment, and she was French, and she lived to 122, so 6 years on from the man. But actually, there's one other guy called Harry Jenkins, and he was buried in 1670, and he claimed to have been born in 1501. So actually, that would make him 169 years old when he died, which is more than double, I guess, the average age that most of us would live to. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? But actually, what is said in this psalm applied to Jesus goes infinitely beyond that, infinitely beyond that. Let me read verses 11 and 12. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same. And here's the key bit. Your years will have no end. He is the one, Jesus, who shares in the eternal, everlasting, forever life of God. Jesus is greater as the divine Son. He has the divine name. He does the divine work. He shares the divine life. I guess in our lives, there's certain people, isn't there, who we're attentive to when they speak. I don't know who it would be for you. Maybe a boss or someone like that. And when they speak, your ears just prick up. You've got the notepad out. You're quickly jotting down everything that they say. I think in my life, it was probably at least a few years ago, a teacher that I had at music college, and it was a musician that I really admired, and I was lucky enough just to have a couple of hours with them of tuition. And basically what would happen in these lessons is, he was a pianist, so he would play piano while I played drums. And then after we stopped, he would give an evaluation on how that was and what I could work on and things I needed to practice and how I could improve as a musician. And in those moments, I was just all ears, hanging on his every word. I wonder who that kind of person would be for you in your life. And it's not a bad thing, is it, to be attentive to these kinds of people? But it's just worth doing a bit of comparison and thinking, you know, is that boss, that teacher, whoever it might be, are they the royal son? Are they the one enthroned over all the angels and all of creation? No, they're not, are they? Or is this person the divine son? Are they the one who made all the angels and all of creation in the beginning? No, they're not. And yet Jesus, he is that one. How much more worthy he is of our attention. I guess there are various opportunities we have, aren't there, to listen to Jesus' voice, to listen to what he has to say. I guess some obvious examples are the Bible readings that we have on Sundays. So easy, isn't it? Maybe you even found this today. It's easy, isn't it, to just sort of glaze over as you hear the words. You know, you hear them, but it just feels like a bit of an effort to really engage and try to understand what they mean. But actually, if in those moments we are being pointed to what has been spoken by this royal son, Jesus, I mean, we should hear these words, shouldn't we, with every effort we have to understand and to listen to them. Or maybe you're in the habit of doing a quiet time each morning where you read the Bible and pray on your own. It's a really good habit to be in. I'd recommend it to you if you don't do that. But it's so easy, isn't it, to go through the motions with that. You know, you open your Bible, you read the words, but really you're distracted by thinking of the day ahead. Maybe you know you've got to brush your teeth before you go out and catch your train in 10 minutes. But actually, if in those moments we are being pointed to what has been spoken by this Jesus, divine Son, I mean, we should open our Bible, shouldn't we, read these words without an ounce of distraction, giving everything we have to listening to him. Or maybe you've had the experience of being encouraged by another Christian friend sharing something from the Bible with you to encourage you. And maybe they say something like, you know, isn't it wonderful that Jesus has cleansed us from our sin? And so we can look forward to a heavenly future with him. Let's keep going as Christians together. And you find yourself just kind of nodding along, but really you're daydreaming and your mind is elsewhere. It's easy, isn't it, for that to be how we react to those sorts of things, I think. But again, if in those moments we are being pointed to what has been spoken by this Jesus, I mean, instead of daydreaming, our minds should just be completely there, shouldn't they, with them, listening, wanting to glean what has been revealed in the Lord Jesus. Well, we started with the question, didn't we? Why should I listen to Jesus? As Christians, we sometimes face hardship, don't we? And life with Jesus can just feel too difficult. And we think, why should I keep listening to him? And as Christians, we often, don't we, face temptation. And again, it can feel like life without Jesus just feels a lot easier. And so we think, why should I keep listening to him? We become tired of listening. And actually, the reason that sometimes we aren't attentive to Jesus' words, it can be because of this, can't it? It can be the reason that we just glaze over in the Bible reading, or the reason that we just go through the motions in our quiet times, or we just nod along through the encouraging word from a friend. It can be because of the hardships, because of the temptations that actually lead us to feel tired of listening. Well, the author wants to say to us, remember who Jesus is. Remember who this guy is. He is of the greatest significance. He is the royal son, the one enthroned over every angel, every being in creation. He's the divine son, the one who made everything in the beginning. And so the author closes, sort of climaxes really with chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, given all that we've seen about who Jesus is, given that he is this royal divine son, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. We'll leave a pause for a few minutes and a chance to think about what the Lord's been saying to us, and then we'll be led in prayer.
Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning as a church family. We trust the words in the Bible as the word of God, and we're thankful to you for giving us access to learn directly from your word. Thank you for the fellowship we enjoy with our brothers and sisters, and help us to build each other up in the body of Christ. And we are grateful that we're all acceptable in your eyes when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, no matter what our story was previously. As we think about what we've learned this morning, we pray that we would listen to the words of Jesus, because they are your words. We pray that when we reflect on Jesus and his life, we would not just see him as a man, but also as the Son of God who is in a category of his own. Help us to understand and absorb the words of Jesus into our hearts. Let us take joy that you have glorified our Savior and set him at your right hand on the throne as royalty. Although he suffered on this earth, let us be glad that he reigns in heaven and is praised. With all the distractions in our daily lives, Lord, we ask that you would keep Jesus at the forefront of our minds and remind us just how amazing of a king he is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to also understand that while Jesus was a man like us, He was different, divine, and set apart from us by his holy nature. While we may aspire to be more like Christ, help us grasp that we will never come close to being in the same league as him, and not even the angels in heaven can come close. We pray that recognizing this would only make us want to glorify him further and rely on him more to save us from our sin. As we move into 2024, we recognize that we live in a fallen world which needs saving. We ask that in 2024, it would be a year when we would come to know Jesus more and many more would come to know him as their savior in a world that is in such desperate need for a savior. We pray that you would watch over the various elections happening this year, particularly those in the UK, US, and Taiwan. Please pray, Lord, that you appoint leaders which you wish to have in charge of these countries and your will would be done. Pray, Lord, that these leaders would fear you and would be cautious of their responsibility to lead their people in your ways. But we recognize that you are the true king and are in control over all things happening around the world. Therefore, we pray that you would end the ongoing conflict in Gaza and Ukraine, bringing peace to those regions which have seen such destruction, and stop the spread of the conflict in the Middle East. In particular, Lord, we would ask you that you watch over and protect your people and your church. Help them cling to you for hope in these extremely tough times, and bring them comfort to know that by trusting in Jesus, they will one day live in a kingdom free from conflict, suffering, and pain. Let them know, Lord, that you hear them cry, that you hear their cry. We also pray for our brothers and sisters in Somalia, Libya, and Yemen, which are three of the top five countries where Christians are persecuted, according to the Open Doors charity. We pray, Lord, that you would stop the Islamic governments in these countries persecuting your people and your word. Instead, give your people in these countries strength and resolution to continue on their path of trusting in Jesus, who is stronger and more mighty than any government. We ask that you provide the believers in these countries with safe places to meet together, dwell on your word, and to encourage each other. We also turn to thank you as a church here in Greenwich and ask you would make this a fruitful year for our congregation. Bless us in our grace group studies as they restart shortly, and pray you would watch over each of the groups this year. Help us continue to bond, love, and support each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask that you would bring us fellowship and valuable teaching this year as we continue with our Bible overview. We also pray that many more in the local area would find out about Grace Church and hear your truth preached. Make us bold to invite our friends, neighbors, and colleagues along. We ask that you give them soft hearts to accept the invites. And there's so many focus on New Year's resolutions to eat less and exercise more. We ask that you would make following Jesus our number one priority for 2024. And help us to put you as a priority in our lives. Finally, Lord, pray that in this coming week we would listen and learn from the words of Jesus and be grateful for the wonderful, royal, and divine Savior we have. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.